ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठ 10 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट्स 11 एंड 12 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस A.C. भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। नामाध्यायानि कुर्वन्ति स्थानानि च नराभुवि दुर्गेति भद्रकालीति विजया वैष्णवीति च कुमुदा चण्डिका कृष्णा माधवी कन्यकेति च माया नारायणीशानि शारदेत्यम्बिकेति च। Translation: Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. Purport: because Krishna and his energy appeared simultaneously, people have generally formed two groups, the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas, and sometimes there is rivalry between them. Essentially, those who are interested in material enjoyment are Shaktas, and those interested in spiritual salvation and attaining the spiritual kingdom are Vaishnavas. Because people are generally interested in material enjoyment, they are interested in worshipping Maya Devi, the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas, however, are Shuddha Shaktas, or pure Bhaktas, because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra indicates worship of the Supreme Lord's energy, Hara. A Vaishnava prays to the energy of the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord along with his spiritual energy. Thus, Vaishnavas all worship such deities as Radha Krishna, Sita Rama, Lakshmi Narayana, and Rukmini Dwarakadhish. Whereas Durga Shaktas worship the material energy under different names. The names by which Maya Devi is known in different places have been listed by Vallabhacharya as follows. In Varanasi, she is known as Durga. In Avanti, she is known as Bhadrakali. In Orissa, she is known as Vijaya. And in Kulahapura, nowadays known as Kolhapur, she is known as Vaishnavi or Mahalakshmi. The representatives of Mahalakshmi and Ambika are present in Bombay. In the country known as Kamarup, she is known as Chandika. Kamarup means? It's Assam. In northern India as Sharada, and in Cape Comorin as Kanyaka. Thus she is distributed according to various names in various places. Srila Vijayadvaj Tirthapad in his Padaratnavali Tika has explained the meanings of the different representations. Maya is known as Durga because she is approached with great difficulty, as Bhadra because she is auspicious, and as Kali because she is deep blue. Because she is the most powerful energy, she is known as Vijaya. Because she is one of the different energies of Vishnu, she is known as Vaishnavi. And because she enjoys in this material world and gives facilities for material enjoyment, she is known as Kumuda. Because she is very severe to her enemies, the Asuras, she is known as Chandika. And because she gives all sorts of material facilities, she is called Krishna. In this way, the material energy is differently named and situated in different places on the surface of the globe. From the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. From the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, just before the appearance of Krishna, Yoga Maya has appeared in the womb of Devaki, and Krishna, who is yet to appear as Krishna, speaks to her as follows. I'm reading some verses prior to the verse that we've just chanted, and I'll read some others also. The Lord ordered Yogamaya, O my potency, who are worshipable for the entire world, and whose nature is to bestow good fortune upon all living entities, go to Vraja, where there live many cowherd men and their wives. In that very beautiful land where many cows reside, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, is living at the home of Nanda Maharaj. Other wives of Vasudeva are also living there incognito because of fear of Kamsa. Please go there. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Sankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer into the womb of Rohini. O all auspicious Yoga Maya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki, and you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. By sacrifices of animals, ordinary human beings will worship you gorgeously with various paraphernalia because you are supreme in fulfilling the material desires of everyone. That's why the Shaktas think that she is supreme, because she's supreme in what they want, which is fulfilling material desires. They don't see anything beyond that. Nanyada stiti vadinaha. There is nothing beyond that, they say, than simply getting material enjoyment by following the Vedic process. Then Lord Krishna blessed Maya Devi by saying, in different places on the surface of the earth, people will give you different names such as Durga, Bhadrakali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi, Kumuda, Chandika, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaka, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, and Ambika. That's the two verses which we just chanted the Sanskrit of. And continuing, the son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarshan because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokul, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. Yeah. So we're continuing to talk about Maya here in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And on the occasion of Durga Puja, we could say that it's auspicious. It doesn't seem very auspicious to the animals who are offered. Yesterday I said how to justify speaking about Maya. Why should we speak about Maya when Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of the verse which we read yesterday, said that the primary symptom of people who are in Maya is that they speak nonsense. In other words, they speak about Maya. But there's a different way that we're speaking about Maya to the way that materialists speak about Maya. So I had said that we have to know about God and his energy. So I'll just read a couple of lines from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 4, in which he describes the material elements. Bhumirapa nalovayu kangmano buddhir evacha ahankara itiyang mebhina prakriti ashtadha. This is another way of seeing Maya as the elements which make up Maya. These are the Panchamahabhuta, the five gross elements, and the three subtle elements. And materialists, philosophical materialists, those who subscribe to the philosophy of materialism, they say, well, that's all there is in existence, because we can't see, touch, taste, smell, feel, or hear anything else. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, Krishna says, these together constitute my separated material energies. So when we say Durga Devi, she is the personified material energy, and she is the Adhishtatri, the overseer of various aspects of the material energy. So a couple of lines from this purport, the first line of this purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The science of God analyzes the constitutional position of God and his diverse energies." And then again, later in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, "The eternal absolute truth is the supreme personality of the factual, sorry, the factual absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna, he is the complete energetic person, and he possesses separated and internal energies." So, we're discussing about the material energy, continuing to discuss about the material energy. We shouldn't be too fascinated to understand what it is. Otherwise, we'll get in the same position as Markandeya Rishi, who, when he had vision of the Supreme Lord, he asked for benediction and he asked to see Maya. What is your external energy? And, well, it took him a long time to see it. Long time to see it means he lived even through the devastation of the material. The Lord vanished and he found himself floating in the ocean. The devastation came in, the waters of devastation. He found himself floating for millions and millions of eons in the water, suffering. And then he saw, floating on the water, a little baby floating on a banyan leaf. That was Krishna. So he came close to that baby and he got sucked in by the breath of that baby into his abdomen. And then again he saw all the material energies. So be careful about seeing the material energy. Then again he, after being inside his abdomen again for a hugely long time, then again he came out. So he saw the material energy, how the material energy is manifest and then unmanifest at the time of devastation and again manifest. And took him a long time to see it. So we shouldn't be too anxious to see it. In fact, she herself is not too anxious to be seen by Krishna. That vilajjamanaya, we read that verse yesterday. She feels lajja, she feels some shame. She stands behind Krishna. Universal form is described that dharma is on his front side and adharma is on his back side. So maya, she is maya chatad apashrayam. She's under the control of Krishna, but she remains behind him. I'll read another purport, verse and purport that Srila Prabhupada wrote about maya personified, because yeah, that point I already made, that when we talk about maya, we tend to think of an influence or an energy. We may say, I'm in maya. In English, we say, I'm in maya. We are in maya in as much as we're in this material world, but in maya means we're under the influence of maya. Maya mohita, we'd say in Sanskrit. But she is also a person. Everything is personal. As I was again saying yesterday, the land, the trees, the flowers, the wind, the rivers, they're all spirits connected with this. That's why one very common form of devi worship or worship of the nature goddesses goes on all over the world, or used to go on before there was industrialization. And before many countries got taken over by Christianity and Islam. Otherwise, people, they tend to worship nature spirits or various spirits. That's still very prominent in the Chinese world, among Chinese people. In Thailand, the people are officially Theravada Buddhists, but the actual religion, they worship different gods, and they worship Hindu gods also, but they worship spirits, sorry, that's the main worship. So apart from the worship of Durga, There's also worship of local gramya devatas, village spirits, and we'll find in many parts of North India that there are local goddesses, especially in Rajasthan. You'll find every village has some, just like Lord Shiva has his own different names in every place, so they have different names of Durga which they give, or expansions of Durga, we can say. So Maya is not, we tend to think of her as an energy. She influences us, but she is a person also. And Durga Puja is the worship of the person Durga. So more about her in this purport. Actually, Shakta worship, it's a huge, it's a whole culture. Just like in Vaishnavism, we have a whole culture. So the Shakta cult, it's a huge culture. And just like in Vaishnavism, there are different branches and this and that. So in Shakta religion, there's different understandings and different schools. As far as I know, it's not traditionally been developed very much philosophically, as have the Vaishnava schools in particular, and also certain Shaiva schools, were very developed philosophy, very elaborate philosophies worked out. But these are the three main cultures of worship within Vedic culture. It's our Vaishnavism, Vaishnava, then Shaiva and Shakta. Shakta, they tend to be gross materialists. Vaishnavas, they tend to be transcendentalists, although some are materialistic also. And Shaivas, they can be either way, and they tend to be impersonalistic. So it's Lord Vishnu is completely spiritual. Lord Shiva is somewhere in between. And Durga, she is material energy personified. So this purport, verse and purport, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 18, describing Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod, second only to Lord Vishnu. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport worked into the translation, is self-sufficient. Although he has nothing to aspire for in the material world, for the benefit of those in the material world, he is always busily engaged everywhere and is accompanied by his dangerous energies, like Goddess Kali and Goddess Durga. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as the greatest devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is known as the best of all types of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanang yatha shambhuhu. Consequently, Lord Shiva has a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the disciplic succession known as the Rudra Sampradaya. Just as there is a Brahma Sampradaya coming directly from Lord Brahma, the Rudra Sampradaya comes directly from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great personalities as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manuhu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasa Kir Vayam. These are 12 great authorities in preaching Krishna consciousness. The name Shambhu means Lord Shiva. His disciplic succession is also known as the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the current Vishnu Swami Sampradaya is also known as the Vallabha Sampradaya. The current Brahma Sampradaya is known as the Madhva Gaurya Sampradaya. Even though Lord Shiva appeared to preach Mayavad philosophy, at the end of his pastime in the form of Shankara Acharya, he preached the Vaishnava philosophy. Bhajagovindam, 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 Murhamate. He stressed worshipping Lord Krishna or Govinda three times in this verse, and especially warned his followers that they could not possibly achieve deliverance or mukti simply by word jugglery and grammatical puzzles. If one is actually serious to attain mukti, he must worship Lord Krishna. That is Sripad Shankaracharya's last instruction. Herein it is mentioned that Lord Shiva is always accompanied by his material energy, Shaktya Ghauraya. Material energy, Goddess Durga or Goddess Kali, is always under his control. Goddess goddess Kali and Durga serve him by killing all the asuras or demons. Sometimes Kali becomes so infuriated that she indiscriminately kills all kinds of asuras. There is a popular picture of goddess Kali in which she wears a garland composed of the heads of the asuras and holds in her left hand a captured head and in her right hand a great kadga or chopper for killing asuras. Are you familiar with that picture? Mm-hmm. It's very common in Bengal. And Lord Shiva will be under her feet as Kali runs around with her tongue out and blood everywhere. Continuing the purport, great wars are symbolic representations of Kali's devastation of the asuras and are actually conducted by the goddess Kali. Interesting. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktire Ka. That's one line quoted from Brahma Sanghita, which we read 2 days ago. Asuras try to pacify the goddess Kali or Durga by worshipping her in material opulence, but when the asuras become too intolerable, goddess Kali does not discriminate in killing them wholesale. Asuras do not know the secret of the energy of Lord Shiva, and they prefer to worship goddess Kali or Durga or Lord Shiva for material benefit. Due to their demoniac character, they are reluctant to surrender to Lord Krishna, as indicated by Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 15, Namam Dushkritino Murha Prahadyantena Radhamaha Maya Pahrita Gyana Asurang Bhavamashritaha. Lord Shiva's duty is very dangerous because he has to employ the energy of goddess Kali or Durga. Very powerful energy. You have to be very powerful to control such an energy. So if a man has a very strong wife, strong-headed wife, it's very difficult to control. He has to be more powerful. From what I understand, most men find it difficult to keep one wife under control. And what about she who's the personification of every woman in the whole universe? So help him. And then you can understand how strong Lord Shiva is, how powerful he is. Keeps the material energy under his control. Female energy. First of all, no one can understand how it's working. And even if you try to understand, then just to... on the one hand, you want to enjoy it. On the other hand, it gives so much suffering. But you can't give it up. So Lord Shiva doesn't give it up because he is... Performing a service for Lord Vishnu. One reason he's able to control is that he's not attached to material enjoyment. One who wants to enjoy the female energy and at the same time control it doesn't work. Nor does he capitulate to her. Doesn't give in to her demands. He did so as Sati when she went away, but she had to suffer because she didn't follow his order. In another popular picture, the goddess Kali is sometimes seen standing on the prostrate body of Lord Shiva, which indicates that sometimes Lord Shiva has to fall down flat. Sometimes even he has to fall down below his wife. Fall down flat in order to stop goddess Kali from killing the asuras. Since Lord Shiva controls the great material energy, goddess Durga, worshippers of Lord Shiva attain very opulent positions within the material world. Under Lord Shiva's direction, a worshipper of Lord Shiva gets all kinds of material facilities. In contrast, a Vaishnava, or worshipper of Lord Vishnu, gradually becomes poorer in material possessions because Lord Vishnu does not trick his devotees into becoming materially entangled by possessions. Lord Vishnu gives his devotees intelligence from within, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogang tang yena mam upayanti te. For those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Thus Lord Vishnu gives intelligence to his devotee so that the devotee can make progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Since the devotee has nothing to do with any kind of material possession, he does not come under the control of Goddess Kali or the Goddess Durga. Yeah, well, the materialists, they worship Durga for material possessions, but it's like the male spider who approaches there's the black widow spider in South America. She attracts the male, enjoys sex with him, and then kills him and eats him. So those who worship Durga, they worship her, but she sees that she's holding the hand of the head of the asura, which she's chopped off, and they don't consider that's me. This mother, she gives me all material enjoyment, and then she kills me by the material nature. We're all killed. Lord Shiva is also in charge of the tamoguna, or the mode of ignorance in this material world. His potency, the goddess Durga, is described as keeping all living entities in the darkness of ignorance. Ya devi sarva bhuteshu nidrarupang sangstitha. That's one line from the Devi part, that Chandi, that's Nidrarupena Sangstita, and then it's Jyoti Rupena, so there's the same line is repeated again and again with the Nidrarupena, Jyoti, and Buddhi Rupena, and so on. She's the form of all the qualities in their material representation. She's situated in the sleep, in the intelligence, in the life airs, in every part of every living being. Both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu, but Lord Brahma is in charge of the creation, whereas Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction, which he carries out with the help of his material energy, goddess Kali or goddess Durga. Thus, in this verse, Lord Shiva is described as being accompanied by dangerous potency, Shaktya Ghoraya, and that is the actual position of Lord Shiva. So every man should think that the wife, if she's not seen as Vaishnavi, very dangerous to see one's wife in any other way than as being a Vaishnavi, to treat her or deal with her, otherwise, instead of being Vaishnavi, she can become Chandika, which is very, very dangerous and powerful in the wrong way. So, Durga is the material energy. We are also energies of Krishna. The material energy, that verse we just read, of the eight energies, the separated material energies of the Lord. And there's also the spiritual energy. And we are that spiritual energy. Or we are part of it. Aparayamitas tranyang prakriting vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabahoya yedam dharyate jagat. So our relationship with the material energy, it's illusory. We don't really... She is called the illusory energy, and we don't have a real relationship with her, or the relationship that we take to be real. It's not real at all. Our real relationship is with Krishna. So in the spiritual world, the devotees of Krishna live there, and they're also in illusion, in the sense that they're under yoga maya, by which the devotees may forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they relate with him as their friend, lover, child, or father in various ways. Thus, Mother Yashoda, she's in Maya because she thinks that Krishna is her son. She thought like that when she had the vision of Krishna the Krishna's universal form within Krishna's mouth. And then she started to think all very philosophically, yes, due to illusion, I'm thinking I'm the wife of Nanda Maharaj and Krishna is my son. And then Krishna cried. He didn't want his mother to become too philosophical. And Mother Yashoda forgot all these philosophical thoughts and simply wanted to feed Krishna. But the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So everything goes on. There are mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, friends. Everything in the spiritual world is in the material world, but here it's the perverted reflection. So Yoga Maya, which facilitates the devotees, it facilitates actually Krishna enjoying with his devotees, and secondarily the devotees enjoy with Krishna, but she's reflected in this material world as Mahamaya, in which the spirit souls try to enjoy separately from Krishna, but they end up suffering, as we are all experiencing in this material world. So this Mahamaya is Durga Devi. We're known as the Tatashta Shakti. That means we can choose to live under the influence of Yoga Maya, or we can choose to live under the influence of Mahamaya. And the idea of being free is actually an illusion. When we say mukti, this very important word, mukti or moksha, but it means liberation, but it doesn't mean absolute liberation, because the only person who's absolutely free, maybe you should go sit at the back, and Lisa, I won't hear the coughing so much. The only person who's absolutely free is Krishna, but then he's ontologically free, as is stated in the beginning of the very first verse of the Bhagavad, the very first line after the invocatory line, that he is Swarat, but then he himself comes under the control of the love of his devotees. Aham bhakta paradhino nahi svatantra eva dvija. He tells Durvasa Muni, I don't believe what you read in the first line of Bhagavatam. I'm actually not independent. I am controlled by my devotees. And it comes under the control of their love. So we can be, to become free means to become free from the influence of the material energy, but then we become under the influence of the spiritual energy. Okay. All right. It's okay. Not me. We become under the influence of the spiritual energy. We're either under Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Being under the influence of the Mahamaya means to be in this material world, which is like a prison house. We do have freedom, but just a little bit. This much freedom we have to choose to live in the spiritual world or in the material world. Surrender to Krishna or not to surrender to Krishna. If we don't surrender to Krishna, then we come to the material world, which is like a prisoned house. Just in prison, we're restricted. We can't go where we like and do what we like. And actually, in the spiritual world, we do what we like, but what we like is to serve Krishna. That's the natural propensity of the living being. In the material world, we like to serve our own senses instead of serving Krishna's senses. But so this material world facilitates that, but at the same time awards us much suffering. And that is done by Durga Devi. But even though she is on the order of Krishna, engaged in giving suffering to those who reject Krishna, at the same time, she is a great devotee, and the purpose of her awarding suffering is to rectify the rebellious jivas so that they can come back to Krishna. In America, the word prison is no longer used. Reformatory institution, something like that. Hmm? No. something like that. Reform it, I just can't remember exactly now. Something like that. That's the idea, that they're supposed to reform people. So as we heard, she, in the Brahma Sanghita commentary, she gives boons in the shape of wealth, property, recovery from illness, wives and sons, but this is her deluding kindness. That is her kindness which puts us into illusion. That's, people worship Durga to get all these facilities, but her real kindness is the suffering that she gives, which helps us to understand that even if we get everything that is considered desirable in this world, it will always give us suffering. So better get free from this world. And ultimately that means to come to Krishna. And then she herself assists the devotee in coming closer and closer to Krishna. Just like we read in this purport from the fourth canto, the followers of Lord Vishnu, they tend not to be very wealthy. They're not much interested in wealth. And they also we find that sometimes after people come to Krishna consciousness, they go through many difficulties and they wonder, oh, why? I'm being good. I'm not eating meat and I'm not drinking wine and I'm doing my best to be good and I'm suffering so much. That doesn't seem to be right. But actually that is the arrangement of the internal potency. Mahatmanastumang pata daiving prakriti mashritaha. Those who are great souls, the devotees, they're under the shelter of the internal potency, but she acts through the external potency to bring the devotee closer and closer to Krishna. Yasyaha manugrihnami harishe tadhanang shanai. Svajana dukkha dukitam. Tato tyajanti. I can't remember. Tato danam tyajanti sha. Svajana dukkha dukitai. Krishna says that my mercy is manifested in that I gradually take away the wealth from my devotees, and then his relatives become fed up with him, and in this way he suffers. That's Krishna's mercy. But then the idea is that the devotees come closer and closer to Krishna by not only saying that, oh Krishna, I have nothing in this world but you, and then Durga hears that and says, oh really? Okay. I'll give it to someone else and takes everything away. So she is Vaishnavi. She's Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Shiva is known as the greatest Vaishnava and she is his wife. She's Vaishnavi. She's a great devotee also. We find the gopis of Vrindavan worshipped Durga in the form of Katyayani. To get Krishna as their husband. So we might think, well, that means that's demigod worship. Where is that? That's demigod worship. See, the gopis are doing demigod worship. Well, let's read from that. The gopis prayed to Katyayani. Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogin Yadhishvari Nandagopa Sutang Devi Pating Me Kurute Namaha Iti Mantrang Japantyastaha Pujang Chakru Kumarikaha. Each of the young unmarried girls, that's the gopis of Vrindavan, performed her worship while chanting the following mantra. O goddess Katyayani, O great potency of the Lord, O possessor of great mystic power and mighty controller of all, please make the son of Nanda Maharaj my husband. I offer my obeisances unto you. And from the purport, according to various acharyas, the goddess Durga mentioned in this verse is not the illusory energy of Krishna called Maya, but rather the internal potency of the Lord known as Yoga Maya. So that gopis, they weren't worshipping the material Durga. That should be understood. So if you say, well, the demigods, they worship the gopis, they worship the mundane demigods, so we should do it also. Well, not exactly. The distinction between the internal and external or illusory potency of the Lord is described in the Narada Pancharatra in a conversation between Shruti and Vidya. Must have been a very learned conversation between Shruti and Vidya. Both females, by the way. Sarasvati, also female. So it's not that all females are less intelligent, only those who are not under the shelter of the Shuddha Sarasvati, the Sarasvati, the goddess who's the worshipper of Krishna. So these verses are quoted. Janatyeka para kantang shaiva saiva durga tadatmika ya para parama shaktir maha vishnu swarupini yasya vijnana matrena paranang paramatmanaha muhurta deva devasya pratya bhavati nanyata eke yang prema sarvasva svabhava gokuleshwari anaya sulabho gyeya adi devo kileshwaraha asya avarika shaktir mahamaya kileshwari yaya mugdam jagat sarvam sarvadehabhimaninaha. The Lord's inferior potency, known as Durga, is dedicated to his loving service. I mean, she is dedicated to his loving service. Being the Lord's potency, this inferior energy is non-different from him. There is another superior potency whose form is on the same spiritual level as that of God himself. Simply by scientifically understanding this supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls. Get that? Hear that again? Simply by understanding this supreme potency, one can immediately achieve the supreme soul of all souls, who is the Lord of all lords. So three mornings discussing Maya should not put us into Maya, but should help us to get out of Maya and achieve the shelter of the supreme Lord. There is no other process to achieve him. That supreme potency of the Lord is known as Gokuleshwari, the goddess of Gokul. Her nature is to be completely absorbed in love of God, and through her one can easily obtain the primeval God, the Lord of all that be. This internal potency of the Lord has a covering potency known as Mahamaya, who rules the material world. In fact, she bewilders the entire universe, and thus everyone within the universe falsely identifies himself with the material body. From the above, that's the end of that. Those verses quoted. From the above, we can understand that the internal and external, or superior and inferior potencies of the Supreme Lord are personified as Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, respectively. The name Durga is sometimes used to refer to the internal superior potency, as stated in the Pancharatra. In all mantras used to worship Krishna, the presiding deity is known as Durga. Thus, in the transcendental sound vibrations glorifying and worshipping the Absolute Truth, Krishna, the presiding deity of the particular mantra or hymn, is called Durga. The name Durga, therefore, refers also to that personality who functions as the internal potency of the Lord, and who is thus on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure transcendental existence. This internal potency is understood to be Krishna's sister, known also as Ekalangsha or Subhadra. This is the Durga who is worshipped by the gopis in Vrindavan. Several acharyas have pointed out that ordinary people are sometimes bewildered and think that the names Mahamaya and Durga refer exclusively to the external potency of the Lord. So we can, with this understanding that Durga refers to the internal potency of the Lord, we can also perform Durga Puja. And that we do by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. The Srimad Bhagavatam also describes in the fifth canto, Kali, when Jarabharat was brought as a human sacrifice by various dacoits who they worship Kali. She was not, although she regularly accepts human sacrifice, but in this case she was not happy to do so because Jarbarat was a great devotee of Krishna, and therefore she killed all the dacoits instead. So there were castes of thieves and dacoits. The Tuggi in India was a caste of people who would kill travelers. They worshipped Kali for her protection. They were very expert in deceiving people and then killing them. It was their sacrifice to Kali. Not that they would just steal the things. Even if the people were willing to give them everything, just let us off with our life, they wouldn't allow that, because they had to offer, in their understanding, they had to offer these dead bodies to Kali. So Kali is also there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And you see Vedic culture gives some form of worship to people on all levels, even on the most horrible level. So, any questions? You had some question, yeah.
Rupa Goswami mentioned worship of Ganesha. That is spiritual Ganesha? We can understand it like
one should not neglect the worship of Ganesh. That is standard in Gauriya temples outside of the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, but he didn't establish hardly any temples. He did establish prapanashrams, but definitely Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. We won't find in Gauriya Mathi. But if you see, just like when you go into Radharaman temple in Vrindavan, you'll see at the entrance Ganesh is there. So that seems to be standard among Vaishnavas also. And we know that Ganesh was awarded that position, that whatever, in every kind of puja or every god, that he should be worshipped first to remove all obstacles. Srila Prabhupada explained that we worship the acharyas. In the very beginning of... Generally, in any book written by any Hindu, traditionally, even if it's nothing to do with religion, at the beginning they'll put Sri Ganeshaya Namaha. We put Sri Sri Guru Garango Jayataha, something like that. Jaha Smarane Hoi Bigna Bignasham. This Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, at the beginning of his, at the end of his Mangal Acharam, which is in Sanskrit, when he begins. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he begins his Bengali verses, he continues the Mangal Acharan, and he, because the first words of the Mangal Acharan are Vande Gurun, I worship the Gurus, and then he states who the Gurus are, Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. He says, these are my Gurus, and then he says, Jaha Smarane Hoi Bigna Vinasham. By remembrance of them, all the Vignas, Ganesh is known as Vigneshwar, he who the Lord of obstacles, he removes them. So Vaishnavas, they worship the Acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada said, we worship the pure devotees. And we know also that the Guru, Krishna says, is Sarva Deva Maya. He's the embodiment of all the Acharyas. So there is the spiritual Ganesh also, but the reason we don't worship Ganesh is we come immediately to our acharyas. My understanding is that also in Gauriya culture, there is, even though theoretically we can worship demigods, it's never been encouraged because of the tendency of people just to get diverted into mundane demigod worship. That's my understanding. We'll find Narottam Das again and again in various songs sings that Anya deva shrinai tahare kohinu bhai e bhakti paramakaran. He said, I say to you that not to take shelter of any other god, that is itself the main cause of bhakti. So that's my understanding, that we don't get involved, even though we know that the gopis worship Lord Shiva, they worship Katyayani. In Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, they worshipped Lord Shiva. Nowadays, they worship Sai Baba. Some of them. It's some of them I've seen. But when Gaudiya culture in Gaudiya culture, we model ourselves more on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers than in our practice in this world. We mold ourselves along the lines of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers more than Ananda Maharaj and his followers in Vrindavan, our mode of worship, or all the present residents of Vrindavan. Our mode of worship is more like following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Internally, that there may be different, but in this world, we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in his sampradaya, we sing the song. We'll sing the songs of Narottam Das more than Vrindavan bhajans. It's a big topic. Anything else? Sri Sampradaya, they're completely against demigod worship. It's stated that you should never enter the temple of a demigod, even if there's a tiger chasing you. You shouldn't go inside the temple of a demigod to get away from the tiger. Rather be eaten by the tiger. Whereas in Madhva Sampradaya, they incorporate all kinds of demigod worship. And they even, I don't know if that's, I suspect that's a, may or may not be, I don't know, a modern innovation of, they'll even worship Udupi Krishna. On certain days they dress him as Durga, Lakshmi.
Same thing I've seen in Sri Sampradaya, people dressing and worshipping the deity of Vaishnavi as Krishna.
Worshipping the deity of Vaishnavi as Krishna in the Sri Sampradaya. I don't know the philosophical approach. I mean, even to know our own philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a major thing, to study all the Shat Shandarbha and everything. What to speak of other Vaishnav Sampradayas. Yeah.
So
When there are difficulties or downs in someone's life. Well, first of all, we should understand that we're always having difficulties and downs. That's the first thing. Don't think that sometimes life is nice in this material world. That if you say that, that means you're already in difficulty because you don't understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And you're going to get more difficulty because of that. How do we know if it's because of our past karma or if it is Krishna's mercy on us? We should take it to be both things. That's the import of the verse, Tattenu kampansu samikshamano bhunjana evatma kritang vipakam vidvag vapubhir vidatan namaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhak. The attitude of a devotee is that in the midst of distress, he thinks that this is Krishna's mercy on me in the form of reactions to my past previous activities. So let me suffer them and at the same time go on worshipping Krishna. Someone with such an understanding is eligible to be liberated from this material world and go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada equated buddhi with mahatattva. You probably have to look in the previous Acharya's commentaries. That's probably coming from Baladev Vidyabhushan. There are many such technical points. Exactly why or how, I don't know. It's a matter of research. There are many, this whole Mahatattva Pradhan thing, sometimes Pradhan is equated with Mahatattva, sometimes it's categorically stated to be different from it. It does require a lot of research. Suhotra Maharaj did a lot of work on that, but it seems he didn't finish it. It can be quite complex, especially considering that different philosophers say different things. In the Sankhya school, they'll say different things. Mayavadis may interpret it differently. So it does require a lot of research. And with that, which is a roundabout way of saying, I already said it, I don't know. Yeah, then?
Vipambhapuru wants to know, after coming to Krishna consciousness, is it correct to worship Kuladevi?
After coming to Krishna consciousness, is it correct to worship a Kuladevi? Well, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Kuladi Devata Mor Madan Mohan. My family deity is Madan Mohan. So I'm not sure if already that was his family deity or if he accepted Madan Mohan in that form. But anyway, if you don't know the answer to that, then you probably shouldn't have been initiated, because initiation means that we're supposed to surrender to Krishna, which means giving up worship of demigods. As I've many times said, when devotees ask, well, should we worship demigods? We're attached to them and this and that. Well, you can go on worshipping them, but then you'll have to take birth again, and you'll become attached to them, and then you'll take birth again and again and again. And at some point in time, you have to accept sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. You either do it now or you do it how many lifetimes later, we don't know. But initiation means dikha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan, means to fully give oneself to Krishna. That's the meaning of Vaishnava initiation.
And we see that the various names of Shakti is Komudaka, Komoda, Chandika, and also Krishna.
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 Krishna. Female name of Durga. I mean, she is blackish. She is very attractive to materialists. These are different meanings of the name Krishna. It also means she's in association with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So various meanings. Yeah, then what's the question?
Question is then, do we need to exercise more constraint when we say Hare Krishna?
Yeah, we shouldn't say Krishna, like in the Mangaladi this morning you were singing. I was going to point that out. No, Rama, you were singing. Rama, Rama. It's quite common devotees sing that. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. It's quite common. Yes, many times we sing Krishna, Rama. I hear devotees singing. Some of the tunes are like that. But we should sing it in. We should try to sing it so that we don't end up by chanting the Maha Mantra, we find ourselves welcome back to the material world. What's that after? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Oh, there's some too. Krishna, Krishna, like this, it's often chanted. There are some tunes. There's this one tune which has become very popular due to this Madhav and of Kirtan Mela fame. What's the tune, anyone? That has Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama. Anyway. There is one group of Gauriya Vaishnavas. They're in the disciplic line from Bhaktivinoda, not through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at one of his prapanashrams in southern West Bengal, and they only sing tunes which don't lend themselves to this singing of Krishna and Rama. So so they don't get it wrong. Okay, Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Durga Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.